If what's going to happen wasn't so comical, I'd think it tragic.
I am Superman, and I know what's happening. I am Superman, and I can do anything.
You were listening to League Podcast, episode 339. I'm Matt Durson.
Clay Inferno.
All right, welcome back. I feel like we just talked, like, the other day, but...
Talk so rare.
So rare, yeah. But that's great. Now we're back on our Sunday gig.
And Chewy was so excited about it, he sent you a free comic.
I know, that was very nice of Chewy, after we reviewed his movie. And, yeah.
He didn't even care what you had to say.
Yeah, he didn't mind. He didn't seem to mind that I didn't really care for it that much. What a nice guy that Chewy is. I think I owe him a life debt.
Yeah. Well, you just got out of that other one.
Yeah, I know. John,
you just got out of it.
So, yeah, well.
But now you're feeling like a little bit like, oh, man, I really wish I had a life debt to someone.
I really need something to keep me, to get me out of bed in the morning, you know? Just, how about a nice life debt?
It's the warm blanket of responsibility.
Jerry Seinfeld had a joke, I remember, about why do you want to be responsible? It's like the first, anytime something bad happens, the first thing someone says is, who's responsible for this? It's pretty funny. So anyway, I didn't tell it as good as he did. Sorry. But anyway.
What's the deal with podcast jokes?
Did you ever notice these podcast jokes? I just kind of want to get right into it. Unless you want to talk about anything else, I wanted to talk some comics.
I would love to talk comics. That's why we're doing a comic podcast and not a solo.
That's right.
We've already gotten that out of our system.
Yeah. That's right. So let's, but the other day, at the very end, I said, I want to talk Man of Steel, and we didn't really get a chance to talk about it. But,
that was what we call in the podcasting business a teaser. Tune in tune in on Monday.
That's what we call it in the biz, yeah. Well, I want to talk that. I wanted to talk, we had a big, amazing Spider-Man 800 talk about.
So. A couple big comics.
Yeah, big stuff. Big doings. So, Marvel's doing a big, where they're doing a lot of going back to number one and a lot of their big books. So all that.
And I also, I read the Amazing Spider-Man Free Comic Book Day, which I hadn't gotten a chance to.
Oh, okay. Did that.
You read that? Really?
No, I never read that. I picked it up.
That's the new creative team. So it's like,
almost
like the issue zero for issue one.
All right. That's cool. So Spencer and Otley, right?
Spencer and Otley, which is
it's interesting. That's
a team I can get behind, especially for Spider-Man stuff. Because, I don't know, Otley was great on Invincible, and even though Peter is older now, he's not like a teenage superhero. I just think it fits the book very well.
Very well.
Because that's, kind of Invincible is like aping Spider-Man.
Right, like young Spider-Man.
Yeah. So it's very well. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll check it out. It's kind of good. This week, I think, Immortal Hulk comes out.
Immortan Joe? Immortan Joe?
Immortan Joe. The Immortal Hulk, which is Bruce Banner back as the Hulk.
Very well.
We're going to get a new Thor, which is just Thor, number one. Not Mighty Thor or anything else, just Thor, I think. And we're getting a new Iron Man, which is Tony Stark. So, yeah, all, like, the main guys I feel like are coming back. Tony Stark's coming back. Odin's son will be Thor again. Bruce Banner will be Hulk. Steve Rogers is Captain America.
Well, I've been thinking about
Wolverine will be back. I mean, it's like, basically, it's almost like a reset of everything.
but also like all the creative teams have like sort of reset, and now Marvel has like, they used to call them like the architects or whatever. Like who are those people now? Jason Aaron,
right?
Charles Soule.
Those guys are right.
Dan Slott.
Oh yeah, he's gonna
Mark
be.
Mark Waid. There's like new Doctor Strange coming out too.
Yeah, that's right. A new Doctor Strange, and it's going to be a Fantastic Four starting over, and that's where Dan Slott is going.
And Wade is doing Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Right. It's kind of interesting. I guess it's good. And here's what I do think is good, because they're not announcing this as some major like reboot.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? They're just like they're doing it, but it's not called anything. They're not. Like, when they did Legacy or they did all that stuff, which lasted, a year, I feel like.
Right.
Whatever.
I feel like Marvel doesn't still have, they don't have heavy hitters now, but they do, like, they have a good mix of, like, older writers and then, like, younger guys. You know what I mean? They don't have Bendis.
Right. They don't have Bendis for the first time or in Hickman. Many years.
Or, you know, anybody
right.
like that. A fraction. Those guys are gone. But Mark Waid can kind of... Mark Waid and Dan Slott, I feel like, can fulfill, like, the Bendis kind of role, like old school comics.
Yeah, well, let's start. So, yeah, I mean, as much as I know everybody... I was not the biggest fan of Dan Slott's run on Amazing Spider-Man. I know I'm the minority, but... it's good
did
to freshen up.
Did you have some highlights, though? Did you
there
like
were a few
of
highlights, yeah.
Yeah.
But, it wasn't all bad, of course.
Right.
But, yeah, let's talk. Spoiler warning, Amazing Spider-Man number 800. Are you... It's not his last issue. Apparently, he's going to do an 801, and then it'll be done. So, whatever. So this is the conclusion of the Red Goblin thing, which of course is Norman Osborn as Carnage, sort of Green Goblin Carnage.
It was pretty action packed. It kind of reminded me of like later pre Miles Morales Ultimate Spider-Man stuff. It was just like kind of like all these villains like jammed in there, all sorts of different angles, like good action, like definitely all the stuff about like J. Jonah Jameson and Aunt May. And
right.
It was just like a big buildup of like classic Spider-Man tropes. And that I thought was cool. And somebody dies, of course. And, you know, well.
Right. R.I.P. Flash Thompson. I'm sure he'll be back. I don't know. What do you want me to say?
Before? No, I don't know.
I'm sure he is. He had no legs at one point. So I don't know.
He still has no legs. He was
Now he has no nothing. But I mean, I'm sure they'll find a way to be like, oh, the anti-venom, blah blah. Right. I don't know. I wasn't that saddened by, even though like I should be, I guess, because Flash Thompson is a character I've been reading since I was like a little kid. You know, I've been reading about him.
And it's been a while since he was Venom, but I really like that Venom story. That was like a whole arc.
It was all right, but then like they put him with the Guardians. It was
I didn't watch. I didn't read any of those like space Venom things.
Yeah, it was a little weird. I don't know. What do you? Whatever.
It was a thick issue. I was like, when is this thing over? And then I was like, I was surprised that it wasn't filled with a bunch of the stuff you've criticized before. It was just like, here's a bunch of pinups. Here's a bunch of here's some weird backup story. It was
here's
like an 800 page, like the whole story. It was different chapters, but
$10, dude.
Was it?
$10. Yeah.
What that can is you do? What can you do?
You don't have to buy it, right? I mean, you could just not buy it. That's what you can do.
I could not buy it.
Of course. No, I mean, I bought it. I mean, whatever. It's fine. Want to see how this thing ends. It is very typical comic booky sort of story. I guess if you're an old school fucker like I am, it was kind of neat because Spider-Man, Peter Parker, said, you know, in fact, he's Spider-Man everyone kind of urges it. Like Venom is, because Venom comes and helps him beat up the Red Goblin a little bit. And then they say, you know what? If you combine, if you take the symbiote back, you know, you'll be twice as strong and blah, blah, blah.
Just do it.
And he's like, no way, man. And Peter Parker's all like, ah, I'm not doing that. That's, that guy tried to like bond with me and take over my mind and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he finally does because he has to, and you know, whatever. And it ends up, kind of like, I do like, there was another callback that was kind of cool. How the original Green Goblin, like the very first time Norman Osborn died, which he's died like 100 times, but like when the glider like stabbed him in the, after he killed Gwen Stacy, he and Spider-Man are duking it out, and like his own glider came up from behind him and stabbed him.
Yeah.
So they did that in this issue. It wasn't the big killing blow, but, you know, I like that little callback. There was some dialogue though that was really cheesy, I have to say. Some of the stuff that Norman Osborn and what's his name, Little Normie.
Little Normie, yeah.
Little evil Normie Osborn. That was kind of silly. I don't know. I thought that was a little bit much, but what are you gonna do? Like you said, what can you do?
Yeah,
I thought that was a little cheesy.
It was definitely,
it's a comic,
kind of like, yeah, all ages comic book kind of thing. They're trying to get a lot of people to buy that book, right? So they're just kind of like,
yeah. What else? I mean, they did. They had basically had everybody that Spider-Man, you know, they had Mary Jane, they had J. Jonah, you know, like, this is like everybody. There was a little Doc Ock in there, even.
Oh, actually, yeah, that was another thing I wanted to talk about. That was pretty cool, especially if we go back to, like, our audio comic where
right.
Doc Ock and Aunt May.
Yeah,
and, they got, like, and the whole Superior Spider-Man, like, you know, storyline.
Yeah. So does he get killed, though, too, or I forget? Or he just got beat up a little bit. I don't think he was dead.
Yeah, I don't think he was dead.
Yeah.
They probably would have stuck it a few.
There was a weird, minutes. Like, yeah, you're right. There was, like, a weird, like, two-page drop. So, like, Red Goblin was shooting at these little needles or whatever. These little, like, whatever, porcupine-type things. And then he said later on, he's like, aha, those are set to kill every, like, you know, those are going to kill everybody. And then, like, they didn't. Like, it was a very, like, it was kind of like this thing where Flash, that was what he did. He sacrificed himself by going around to everybody right. who had been shot with the needles and healing them. And it was kind of like, it was like this, I thought this was going to be a big dramatic moment. And literally, like, I think it was literally like a page or two later, oh, they're fine.
I did like that scene with the Flash, like, death scene, and like, you're my hero, Spider-Man, let me do this.
Yeah.
One last time. He was just about to retire.
Yeah. It was always the just about to retire guy. Like, it's like the old cop movie trope, you know? Like,
yeah.
He's looking at
you've always been my hero, Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean,
which is true. I mean, you know,
right. That was always the fun thing.
I like when they peppered that in there.
When they were younger, you know, it was always kind of funny that, like, Flash Thompson hated Peter Parker, but he loved Spider-Man. And it was kind of like a fun little, you know, a thing they had fun with.
And something they've never cast right in any of the Spider-Man movies.
Is it, they don't really do much with Flash. Well, I guess in the new one, Flash is smart, like Flash is.
Yeah.
Not like the stupid jock guy, which is kind of interesting. But yeah, they don't really get it right as far as, like, you know.
Because, like, really they don't even have that, like, the, you don't think that, certainly that Spider-Man is, like, Flash from Homecoming's favorite superhero.
Well, he does say he's got a date with the Black Widow. Which I always like that. Yeah, I don't know. They don't really play it up like they do in the comics. Yeah, he's really not.
I like Flash. R.I.P. Flash.
R.I.P. Flash. It was fun. I mean, they over the years, they've done some pretty interesting. Like, there was that time they thought he was the Hobgoblin because the Hobgoblin, like, planted evidence in his house or whatever. And there's all kinds of stuff they did with Flash. But some of the more recent stuff, like I said, Venom in space and whatever. And it's like, all right. But and I'm sure he'll be back.
What was that little scene in the end with when it said that Cletus was out or something, the original Carnage?
Yeah, Cletus Cassidy was the original Carnage, right?
They so mentioned him like in the prison, yeah. Like left or something.
Right. There was certain. Well, that was kind of how he defeated, or one of the things Spider-Man did to defeat him was like, you know, you can. He used the suit. You know, he's like, oh, I know you're not really into Norman. You really want Cletus. You know.
Right. Whatever. Right.
So it was kind of a weird psychological thing there. He played some mind games.
It was the thing that they did. I like that whole Red Goblin, like the whole story. It's like a cool way to combine some things you wouldn't think of necessarily.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be back too. I'm sure we'll see him again. They kind of pulled the like Lex Luthor from Batman v Superman thing at the end.
Yeah.
But he's in this, you know, rubber room, and he's like asking him if he knew who he was, and he's like, "You're Norman Osborn." It was kind of goofy, like, because like he knew who Spider-Man was, which I feel like everybody knows who Spider-Man is now. It's hardly a big deal.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of people know.
Yeah, I guess you don't want your villains to know, because then they can go do what he did and attack Aunt May and attack Mary Jane and whatever. Whatever.
It's always tough being Spider-Man. You got to protect those closest to you. They're going to be in danger now.
Well, yeah, if he gets out and remembers, which I'm sure he will, as soon as they need a sales boost, the return of the Red Goblin!
Because they say with great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah, that's a new one. No, sorry. I'm looking forward to Nick Spencer and Ryan Otley. I hope they kind of bring it back to the Spider-Man that I had when I was a kid. I know it's tired to say, but...
Dude, I think you're going to be happy. Just check out that Free Comic Book Day thing.
All right.
And you know how... did you ever read Superior Foes? I was always talking about that book.
Nick I know. Spencer. You did talk about that a lot. I never really read it.
There's Boomerang. And by the end of spoiler warning, I'm just going to tell you because it like came out weeks ago. Spoiler warning, like he's does all this like cool superhero fighting. Like Peter needs to move into a new place, and he like moves into like a new apartment. It's just him and this other dude, and then it turns out that Boomerang is going to be his roommate.
That's pretty interesting.
It's already off to like a pretty fun, very classic, like Nick Spencer, you know, kind of Kirkman-esque. Like, I can't help but look at the Otley and think it's like kind of Kirkman-y. But like the story even is just, it's like very fun and like really quick and very different than Dan Slott.
Well, that's what I'm excited about. There wasn't like, you know, I remember we talked about when he was living with like Mockingbird for that short time. And I liked that. I thought like, oh, this is good. This is Spider-Man, the kind of the way I feel like he should be, kind of like down on his luck a little bit, but not like super like whatever. I mean, I didn't mind that he was like Parker Industries and all that stuff. At least that was different. I mean, it was different. I mean, you got to try different stuff once in a while. I kind of wish they had gone with that for a little longer. That only lasted a couple issues when he was living with Mockingbird and they were kind of hooking up or whatever. And that just kind of ended really abruptly without any like build up or anything. And I was kind of disappointed in that. So I kind of hope it's like, I don't mean he has to hook up with Mockingbird, but like, you know, girl trouble, whatever apartment there, the ad does give me a little hope. It says like, you know, it says like villains, ex-girlfriends, you know, Manhattan rent. And I was like, oh, all right. I mean, that's funny. You know, it's
yeah. And he's like right in the first, in this Free Comic Book Day thing, that he's like fighting like a version of Sinister Six with has Rhino and Electro and Boomerang. And then he has this big fight, and then he's like, oh, I have to go home and meet my new roommate, you know, as Spider-Man. And he, like, comes in, and, like, they show, like, the last panel is, hey, what's up, roomie? He's like, Peter's like, I didn't know we had a third roommate. He's like, yeah, hey, what's up, roomie? And, like, it's half of him in his boomerang outfit, half of him in the, in just, like, his regular clothes, wow. You know, like they do with Spider-Man.
Right. He's
like, hey, what's up, roomie? And Peter's like, I can't believe this string of bad luck. Oh, and also Wilson Fisk, the Kingpin, is like the mayor of New York or something.
Yeah, that's been going on in Daredevil as well, which I guess you haven't been buying. That's okay.
No, I haven't been. But like there's some funny Kingpin stuff in here, and he's like dressed up all classic Kingpin style. Like really old school comic book. Like, if anything, you're going to love the art on this thing. It's so awesome.
Well, we shall see.
He does very McFarlane-y webs.
Yeah, I noticed the webs look very McFarlane-y. Yes.
Very good. He's the top. He's like one of the, gotta be one of the top guys for superhero comics, man. That guy's great.
Otley?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Oh, very well. One of the top guys. You heard it here first.
So Man of Steel.
Yeah, I want to talk about Man of Steel for a sec. The big Bendis, there was that little bit in that other Superman book or that other thing we got.
Sort of a lead up to this. This is weekly. Right. Man of Steel will be weekly.
So there's one thing before we get into what happened in this book. Did you read this? So with this book, there are issues 1 through 4. This is a 6-issue weekly deal. 1 through 4 is fully returnable for retailers. So, like, if you had a comic book store and you bought, like, 1,000 copies of this book and sold, like, 500, you can send the rest back.
I didn't know that. That seems like a new thing.
I just read that this morning. Which is obviously, like, a way to get them to buy it without fear that they're not going to... But I have a feeling it's kind of... DC is obviously hoping that it's going to be a big hit, which I'm sure it was. I didn't find any sales figures. And there's
It was great. Cool cover and everything.
Yeah. Not crazy. There were many different covers, actually, but the regular, just a cover, was certainly cool enough. There's also a deal of with issues 5 and 6. I'm not even going to pretend I understand how this works. It just has to do with, like, different Batman books. Like, if you bought those and then you get a 50% return on Man of Steel 5. I don't know. It was a very complex sort of thing they had going on here. But the point is, most books are not returnable at all. Like, you cannot. That's like, Diamond is
quarter,
like,
bins.
Screw you. Yeah, exactly. You got your quarter bins. Because Diamond will not let anybody do that. Because they don't have to, because they're in charge of it. They're controlling everything. So anyways, but yeah, so that was kind of cool. I hope it worked out for retailers and they decided, like, well, the hell, we can buy as many as we want and not have to worry about it. Yeah. And if it did hit, then they sold them anyway. And if it didn't, they don't have to worry. But yeah, I have a feeling this is probably the kind of thing where someone who might be a lapsed reader or something might walk into the store and be like, hey man, you got that new Man of Steel and or whatever. So
good place to start.
Yeah. Or if you know who Bendis is, like if you've been watching Jessica Jones or something like that, or I don't know. You know what I mean? Like not a fan like who hasn't bought a comic in like 100 years, but like someone who maybe used to buy them when they were, you know, whatever age, and then like they've been out for a few years and then they read about this big thing. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, even like the local music blog like wrote about like a review of this just because.
Oh, really?
Awesome. Usually they just write about bands, but it was like, yeah, hey, Man of Steel, this is a cool thing. Go check it out, you know?
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Superman. Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you because I remember many. a while ago we were talking about this, and I was like, Bendis, brah, brah, brah. And somebody, either you or John, said, like, well, why do you keep buying it? Bendis stuff, even though you don't like it.
Yeah, I think it was John. But I also I agree with this.
But you concur, right. But I bought this because, I don't know, I wanted to give it a try, and I did enjoy it. I thought it was very...
And you enjoyed Jessica Jones.
Yeah, I love Jessica Jones. And I did love, like, you know, Ultimate Spider-Man for a long time until it got to be a little much, like, near the end. Yeah. I mean, it's not like I hate everything Bendis does, but there is some stuff that he does that I don't like. And but this wasn't one of those. So this was a very small...
Maybe you don't like him on team books.
No, I definitely do not like him on team books. So that is one thing right there. Yes, yeah. You are right. But this is a very small kind of book, but they kind of go back and forth here as far as this Krypton, you know, storyline. When this guy's like, we just have to wipe them all out. This guy,
they will
Rogo be Zar.
The worst. They're the worst. Krypton is terrible. Fuck them.
That's basically what he says.
Krypton is a virus, a plague.
Yeah,
Rogo Zar.
I hope now, that, he was the guy in that other book that beat the shit out of Superman. So
I hope Bendis came up with his name, because that's a very good Superman name.
This is a very good
Superman. New character, then, you know, kudos to him. Smart guy.
Yeah. See, yeah, he wants to cleanse Krypton. So I guess, yeah, where we're going with this is he was the one who destroyed the planet all those years ago.
It's like a retrofit, but it's not one that makes me like be like, oh, that's why does everything happen in the past now? Like, you know, this Krypton was gonna blow up anyways, and now every Superman story that we know is still like valid. It's not like they're going back and changing the timeline. They're just like,
right.
No, somebody wanted to a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really have a problem with it either. Maybe if I really cared about Superman, I would be like, no, you're ruining it. But
yeah, I mean, I do.
It's fine. You're right. The planet still blew up.
It still blows up in the timeline. You know, it's not like.
And they've done this 100 times with different things anyway. But this is exactly what we said. This was kind of like when John Byrne took over the book. You know what I mean? Like, and you kind of changed the origin. You tweaked the origin a little bit.
Exactly. I mean, that's probably exactly why it's called Man of Steel. Just the same thing, you know?
Right.
Let's do this in 2018.
So, but anyway, now that we switch over to Metropolis, and there's this kind of dopey B-list supervillain called Killer Moth. Like, you know, and so it's so funny because the other, he's pointing his gun at this guy, and this guy's like, don't say, like, he listens. And this guy's like, what the hell? Like, he's not anywhere near here. And they're, of course, talking about Superman. So he's like, because Superman, he has super hearing and he can hear anytime. I kind of like what he says. He says he listens for things like, where's the money?
Yeah.
I thought that was like a good line. Like, it's kind of smart. Like, Superman, he can't do everything, but he's here. He listens for certain phrases and then he goes to it. So he's like, oh, he's not even around. He's like some... He's far away. He won't be able to. He won't be here.
I like when they remind people of their powers, or like do something a little interesting with them. Like also they do it with Daredevil because he's sightless. Like, how does he shut out all the noise to be able to focus on, you know, who needs help, or, you know, like what to focus on? Because everything must be just screaming in his ear all the time.
Yeah. It's nice. That they kind of explain that a little bit in a way.
Yeah, I like that.
So I think there is a funny, he's like, he's flying away with these two guys, and the guy's like, don't drop me. And he's like, I don't do that. And the other guy says, well, Batman does it all the time. And he's like, I know, but it's funny when he does it. So it's kind of funny. I always have to put like a Batman joke in there, I feel like. You know? So... Anyways, he stops that one, and now he's thinking about, like, he has this weird inner monologue about this song that he's trying to place, which is kind of interesting, because you never think about Superman I don't know. He's like a dude. He's like a regular dude, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, this girl is singing to her friend. And it's a good song. And I can't remember the name of the song. Because he can hear everything.
Yep.
So, yeah, he goes. He puts out this fire. It's, you know, and then they're like, hey, there's this other thing going on. So, like, he kind of gets into, you know, this firefighter lady kind of hitting on him.
Oh, this was like strange. Perfect, like deconstructed Bendis panel that could have been like in Ultimate Spider-Man. Like, this is like where he's really good at, when Superman's flying away, she's looking at him, she looks at him for another panel.
Yeah.
And it was right after she said, "Nice to meet you, Superman," like under her breath, and then he kind of looks back, and she's like, "Oh." That was stupid.
Super hearing.
Not like flirting with him, but she's like got a smirk on her face. She's like not so embarrassed because she's totally flirting with Superman, you know?
Yeah.
But and that was a very kinda, like, you know, cool,
he's
little
smiling Bendis back at her. He's not like
Bendis, you know, moment, you know?
Yeah, like, it was.
I was just like, very... that's why he's really good at what he does, is for those funny little things.
Yeah. There is a funny thing too, where she's talking about trying to find out who set this fire, and he's like, "You know, I know some reporters at the Daily Bugle call, you know, Clark Kent and Lois." He's like, "Well, call Kent, whatever." Like, I guess he wants. It's kind of like I feel like that's a joke going back to the old days when he used to always scoop Lois, you know, like as Superman, he knew where all the news was.
For Superman to horn in on.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just like in our audio comedy. I've scooped her again. So, anyway, yeah, we go back to Rogol Zar, and they're saying, no, we're not going to let you destroy Krypton. And he's like, wah, 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 I shall destroy Krypton. Bah, bah. Whatever. But we know he's going to do it, so... Whatever.
He's gonna try.
Yep. There is another funny panel where here too. This is a Bendis-y thing, I think. I think he's trying to work all this stuff in. Clark Kent is sitting at his keyboard here. He looks around. Nobody's around. He starts typing at super speed. Like, you know what I mean? Like, at least that's what I got out of that panel.
Oh, I didn't catch that, but now that you pointed it out, totally. Like, they kind of like... if that was like a Photoshop layer of just his fingers, it's like at 50%, and they have a couple of them, so it kind of looks like it's going really fast.
He's going, but it's funny because they just show him, it's a blank page, a blank, you know, like Word page or whatever.
Yeah.
And they like show his finger on the keyboard. They show him kind of looking around, and then they show his fingers moving in fast motion, and then in front of him, he's got an entire page written. He's got like the whole thing written.
Downtown fire, maybe arson.
Yeah. So... I thought that was a fun little Bendis-y thing there. He goes home, you know, they have a little home time with Lois and Clark. And what's the kid's name again? Jonathan?
John.
John. After his dad. Anyways. And then there's this giant bright light. And we assume, I guess, it's Rogol Zar, but we don't know. And... Continued next issue.
Next week.
Yeah, next week. So, interesting enough, there's also a digital code in this. Did you know that? Man of Steel? You can download it digitally as well. The code in the back of the book.
Giving everybody all sorts of options.
Yeah, DC has done that sparingly over the years, and now they've done it again. So I sold my code for $1.50.
Nice.
Sorry. But anyways, as far as like, you know, I know I rag on Bendis a lot, but this one wasn't bad. This didn't bother me. Superman was the main character. It was the voice, you know what I mean? It's in his voice. You didn't have to worry about like him sounding like everyone else, because it was just Superman, and they show him kind of, it's a very small kind of story. He fights fire. He's, you know, typing a thing up for the Bugle. I guess next issue will be like the big reveal or the big confrontation, I guess, or starting the big confrontation between him and Rogol Zar, who I will always say that. As we saw a little preview of that, and Superman gets his butt kicked a lot. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I'll be buying it because it was good. And you know me.
And I guess one thing that I should say about it is a good place to start, but the John Byrne Man of Steel was really an origin story. This one is kind of just existing like in the continuity
as right.
it is now.
But you don't have to know any. You don't have to know what's been going on, Superman. I guess the only
you might have some questions about why he has a kid,
right? If you haven't been reading it, you're like, oh, him and Lois have a kid.
The biggest thing, you know.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's the only thing you really, you'd be confused about if you just picked this up sight unseen, not knowing anything about DC. Because I don't really know. I knew he had a kid, but I don't really read. I don't read Superman. Super Sons. That's right. So I only read Batman as far as DC books, so I don't, but it didn't, you don't need to know any of that stuff. You don't need to know what he's been doing with himself for the last, 75 years.
Right.
You just know who Superman is, and everybody knows who Superman is. So that's what it, there's always talking about, it's a good jumping on point, or we're going to start this here, and we're going to wipe out all the continuity. You don't really have to wipe out all the continuity. Just start like this. This is a good example of how to start a book without being all like, right. Oh, well, the last 5 years never happened or whatever.
It's always like, because we're like in it, we're sort of in it like full speed. Like, what is it when people say it's a good jumping on point? Do you think people are like rushing to the stores because they heard about it? This stuff really is still just for us, I think. I don't know. Like, hopefully they picked up a few readers. Or maybe some, maybe some people that are like Marvel fans might pick this up that don't usually read DC.
Yeah, because they liked Bendis, probably. There's probably a lot of those. I'm betting there are people who probably might check it out, not regular comic readers. I don't know. Maybe not. But certainly I want to see
I want to see the numbers on one of those things one of these days. Like,
yeah, I think it
they takes... never say like it's always Rebirth and whatever stupid Avengers thing is now a different Avengers team. Like there's always something, but this is a big huge deal.
Well,
especially
I think
people have read, or seen Jessica Jones, like you said, or enjoy the Daredevil on TV and other stuff Bendis has done.
Yeah, I bought it. I'm not a regular Superman guy, so, I'm sure there are a lot of people like me out there. But you know what I mean? Like, as far as, DC does a lot, and Marvel just did it recently, with the whole, they did it a couple times. But, they had Secret Wars, they had all this stuff. But, it's like DC did it a few years ago, the new 52, right, where they were like, all that stuff never happened. You know what I mean? Like, and that bugs people. But this is a good way to do a restart, almost, or reboot, without actually rebooting anything. You're just saying, here we go. Here's a new Superman comic. We're starting at number one. You don't, have to know everything that's been going on in the DCU at all. Just, if you want it, buy it, read it. So it's interesting though, what will happen after issue 6? Do we know?
I think it just starts a new Superman comic at number one.
So they go back to number one.
Yeah, wait, this is called Superman.
Alright.
I think that's the deal. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's the deal.
Well, it's 6 weeks. So, that's pretty interesting. With 6 different artists as well. This was Ivan Reese. Rice?
Oh, yeah. He's awesome.
That was really good. I liked that. I liked his art a lot. Yeah.
Very well.
Very well. No complaints on that one. No.
Nice.
Yeah. What else came out? This was a small week for me.
Well, we kind of had a couple weeks of. I have like a few books I'd want. Do we talk about Domino number 2?
I don't think so. That was. Oh, now we're going way back. I don't even remember when that. She
number 2. Number 2 just came out.
Did? I mean, I. All right. What happened to it? I don't even remember. I remember buying it and reading it. She didn't. She survived the fall of the building.
She survived the fall.
I don't remember what else though. Or did they bring her? Like, did they save her? Like the people who threw her up? I don't even remember what happened in this book. I remember liking it.
No, let's skip it. Let's skip it. Let's skip it. Did you get Lando? Do you get Lando double or nothing?
No.
Jeez. This was straight up Lando out of Solo, a Star Wars story.
Yeah, they even drew him in the on the cover, exactly like Donald Glover, which is fine, I guess. No, I didn't
your favorite,
buy that.
Your favorite droid, L337?
I didn't like the last Lando thing they did. I'm not gonna like, probably not going to like this one. did you buy Punisher?
Yeah, I did want to talk about Punisher.
Punisher is... he's still in the war machine armor, and now he's got all the superheroes after him because they're like, give that armor back, you jerk. And of course Captain Marvel's very upset because her and Rhodey were an item when he died, and now here's the Punisher wearing his armor masquerading as, you know, the war machine and killing everybody. So I like that.
All the Avengers are up his ass.
Yeah, they're all up his ass. And Nick Fury is like, you have to turn yourself in. So, okay, here's another thing that I don't know if this was during that whole thing they did a few months ago where Steve Rogers was in Hydra and all that stuff. But apparently the Punisher was part of Hydra. I don't remember that happening. I wasn't reading that at the time.
Yeah, it's like, didn't understand. This whole beef with him and Captain Marvel are like, you just don't care.
So whatever happened, yeah, I don't really care anything, but whatever happened, everyone thinks that he was part of Hydra. So right. He now has to go and fix all that, I guess. I think that's where they're going. But there's a really funny scene where he grabs these scientists, or like he's looking for a scientist to fix up his armor, and he grabs these AIM guys.
Yeah.
And they're like, come on, we're just students. And he's like, what did you major in? And like one of them says, like, you know, accounting, and blows his head off. Like one of them says, creative writing, blows his head off. Like, and this last guy says, oh, biomechanical engineering or something, whatever it is. And he's like, all right, let's go. And he takes the kid. And the kid is like fixing his armor so they can't track him. And he's also doing something else, which you don't know yet, but I'm sure that will be revealed soon on what the kid did.
But they're like, literally in like a freeze, like a
yeah, they're in the freezer in an old fast food restaurant.
We haven't really seen like Frank Castle in a while, so this is like the first time he doesn't have his armor off. And you're like, oh, they kind of drew him like they do on TV. That's
cool. Yeah, it's true. We did see him with his helmet off. There was a funny line too that I really enjoy because they're tracking him down, and he's like one step ahead of them. And the way it's drawn is really nice. It's like an 8-panel grid, and they show what Frank is doing, and then they show the heroes show up and Frank is already gone. There's a funny page where Spider-Man is like, it looks like he left here in a hurry because he only drank half his shake. He was in a restaurant eating. He was in this. There's a lot of humor in this one for a comic book that's about this guy blowing all these people away, like literally just shooting their heads off. Like, there's some funny lines. I have to say, this has become one of my favorite books, and I never liked The Punisher.
I really like it too, and this just having the armor is really cool.
Yeah, it's a really good idea.
I was thinking it was going on a little too long, but now I don't care.
Well, yeah, it's a completely different direction now, so I'm kind of glad they're keeping it going a little bit. You know, I don't know how it's going to resolve itself, but
and I do like all the cameos in here with Spider-Man and Daredevil.
Yeah, all the heroes that are after him.
Nick Fury. Sam Jackson, yeah. Nick Fury.
Sam Jackson, Nick Fury. Yeah. He's basically just Nick Fury now, I guess, right?
Yes, correct.
The other one's gone. So I do want to talk one more second, too. So that Ed Brubaker book, Kill or Be Killed, which I've been enjoying for 19 issues now. At the end of this one says, next issue is the conclusion. I was like, shit. I had just given it its own spot in my long boxes, like, you know, where I, like, instead of just putting it in with a bunch of other Brubaker books, like, I had, like, you know, all these Brubaker books. I said, I'll just stick that one in there, like, Criminal and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm going to give this one its own thing. And then, like, I find out it's ending, you know? But, you know, 20 issues of an indie book is a pretty good run, and
will it have, like, an actual ending, you think?
Yeah, probably. I think. I don't know. Who knows? But I'm sure whatever it is.
Can you do a second volume of it or something?
Maybe he will. Yeah, maybe he will. I think this has been one of the more popular things he's ever done. So.
Very well.
Very well. So, yeah, congrats to Ed Brubaker. So, but yeah, if you want to get it, there'll probably be an omnibus or something, but. I mean, and, you know, on the one hand, it's sad. You don't want to see one of your favorite books get canceled. Or not canceled, but, I mean, end. But, you know, all things must end, and, you know.
Speaking of things ending, all new Wolverine. The last all new Wolverine came out.
Yeah, okay, so let's talk about that. Yeah, that was a couple weeks ago, but
I was I didn't know that was
surprising to me.
Well, I guess, you know, they're bringing back the real Wolverine, so maybe they don't need this book anymore.
But there will be, she will be in her own book, but I think she's just going to be called X-23 again, right?
Oh,
I saw an ad, there was an ad somewhere for right. X-23.
I was hoping that was going to be her as X-23, but it's also not written by Tom Taylor. It's going to be written by Mariko Tamaki, who I don't know. But
I think I've seen the name around, but I don't know where.
As good. I really liked this. I really liked the art on this book for like 95% of the issues, I'd say.
Yeah.
I like the future jump here with this last couple issues. Just like, they're just like, okay, like, let's go to the future so I can tell like the rest of my story.
Yeah, I think
Gabby's growing up and.
Yeah, I thought that. You know what? At first, I was like, oh, they're just doing another one of these. Do you remember I had my multiverse fatigue or whatever? And I was like, oh, here we go again.
This is just a couple.
It actually was fine. I liked it, actually.
I thought it was really cool.
Let's see. Mariko Tamaki is a Canadian artist and writer. She's known for her graphic novels Skim, Emiko Superstar, and this one, Summer. And for several prose works of fiction and nonfiction.
Well, I'll definitely give it a shot. I really like Tom Taylor. Although, did he write that X-Men Red annual?
I didn't read that. I bought it, but I haven't read it yet. I'm a little nervous.
It's the art is really bad. Maybe the story's good, but I couldn't.
Those annuals.
Yeah.
You know.
You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
You're probably not reading this book, but. Star Wars Thrawn is...
No, I'm definitely not reading that.
Is probably one of the better Star Wars books coming out. And here's why. Right. It's kind of like a Star Trek book. It's like filled with all this like minutiae, like Federation rules and army tactics and how do we get... It's like espionage and... It actually is. It's very cool. And if you were to like slap some different characters in here, and just call it like John Byrne's like Star Trek, then that's really what it would be. All
right.
It's kind of funny like that. It's a really good comic. It's just it's not what you'd really expect. It's almost like a deep dive, like, what do they call it? Like extended universe stuff. I think it's probably faithful to the Thrawn. Like it's sort of like Thrawn's like rise to power, and he's a real dick. he's executing whole colonists, and then getting kind of like how they're doing with Darth Vader, like if they don't, they want to get rid of somebody, they put them on like a really shitty detail,
and right? Stuff
like that, you know, like they give them a rise in rank, but then they're like, yeah, you have to go take care of these separatists, like way out in the outer rim. But yeah,
very well.
Not, I don't know. And what about this? This book confused me because I thought it was going to be the Thor with Odin's son. But
the Gates of Valhalla? Is that what you're talking about? That was a one shot. Should we call one shit?
Yeah,
I didn't like that book.
Very sad.
Yeah, this book stunk. The
future, I really wish I hadn't bought it. I didn't know that that's what it was. I thought there was going to be more like Thor in it.
Yeah, there's the granddaughters of Thor go back in time to see Jane Foster, and they talk. So I guess what we're supposed to gather from this, though, right, is that Jane Foster will be back at some point, right?
Okay, well, sure.
Well, okay, so first of all, there's that. They have a conversation. So she's going to
get not cancer-y?
It seems like it, because they were in these three chicks. Well, I shouldn't say that, I guess, but like, these three women who are Thor's granddaughters were saying, like, we should tell her what her role will be in the War of the Realms. And they were like, no, we can't. She has to discover that for herself. So whatever it is, obviously.
It's kind of like something they don't need to wrap up if they don't have to. Well, Jason.
Well, apparently they're doing a book called War of the Realms.
Huh.
So I guess that's like a separate Thor book, because if you read the rest of that awful Malekith story that is in that's the second half of this comic.
Yes, I did read it.
It was awful. There was a little ad at the end. It was a little ad at the end that said, stay tuned for Thor number one and also War of the Realms, which, I don't know, to me, I interpreted that as a separate book.
Yeah, you're probably right. This is, why did they have this, the Mighty Thor number one? I honestly thought that it was going to be the Thor number one with the different cover that you see advertised. That's what this was when I picked it up.
It was just a waste of money grab, a horrible, sad, the art was bad.
Hey, I forget. Yeah, I don't know if you are, but are you reading the new Jason Aaron Avengers book?
Yeah, we were talking about that, right? Did we already talk about number two? Maybe not.
I don't know if we talked about number two.
Yeah, we definitely talked about number one. I'm enjoying it.
I really like Ghost Rider. I don't know why, but ever since he was on S.H.I.E.L.D. and, you know, I like this character.
He's different. He's a little funnier.
He's like in high
school. Serious. Yeah.
Yeah.
I forget even which one. Which was this where they revealed that Loki was behind the whole thing again?
Yes.
Okay. Just like he was at the beginning of, like, because the Avengers got together to fight Loki back in 19-dickety-2.
Yeah.
And now they're, Loki is sort of like, I'm the greatest Avenger because I'm the one who brought them together and I'm going to do it again. So that's kind of cool. I mean, it's always good to see Loki. He's always a good villain.
Can I ask you, why do you think, did She-Hulk like have some reaction to touching the Celestial or something? Like, so that's why she kind of hulked out and was like fighting Robbie Reyes?
I'm not exactly sure what the deal is. Is She-Hulk like, now of, like angry, hey, like Hulk? Or, like, I think probably something that's in her own book, which we don't, neither of us buy, but seems like she gets like the rage thing going, like Bruce Banner, you know?
Yeah. Hulk's wish.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I that's what I assumed. That's what Hulk is all about now.
I don't mind seeing an Ed McGuinness drawn comic book either.
I love Ed McGuinness's art. He's been away from Marvel for a while, but this is pretty sweet.
I love these. I love this kind of artwork, man. It's great.
Yeah. It's very comic book. Like, that's what I want in my comic books.
Yeah, well, then I think that I'll go back to it again, but I'm really looking forward to this new Spider-Man shit, man. We get McGinnis and Otley taking over for real.
Some of our superhero art. I'll give it all a try.
Call it old school, but to me, it's just school because that's
right. There's no
my preference.
I mean, there's different kinds of, like, you know, Michael Gatos has his style or whatever. You know what I mean? There's different styles, but I like to see, like, a very nice, clean comic book type style, especially in a book like Avengers or Spider-Man. You know, like, I don't want to see, like, sort of dark, muddy kind of, you know. It works for Jessica Jones or whatever, but it doesn't really work on some of these other guys. So
I'm so
that's
glad
why I like
that.
Bagley. You know, I like Bagley on Spider-Man. Back
I think I agree. I agree with you 100%, and that's why, like, that Avengers series, that weekly thing that I bought, there was things in that I didn't like. You know, this is just starting off with this new series. I think it's a great creative team. Love Jason Aaron, obviously. We talk about his books all the time. Even if that was a throw off
with Mighty Thor. That Thor book was a little bit of a
those characters, I mean the characters, it does fit in with his whole, when they release that giant omnibus of Thor, like, that'll be in it too. It's all part of his, like, master plan story for Thor.
Yeah.
But it was they didn't really need to put it out. I guess, you know?
No, but they did. But hey, but whatever.
Because those weren't they the granddaughters of Thor in the old man Thor story?
Yeah, there was like a storyline they did, apparently, which I didn't buy that either. But I think we've seen them before. Are you sure? Did Jason Aaron actually write that?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I'm looking right at it.
Oh, all right.
I don't think they let anyone else touch Thor, except for, like, on team things. Like, that's, like, his...
All right.
His vibe.
Yeah, all right. Wasn't great. Was it? Yeah.
It was not great. They should put that in the Thor omnibus, like, a page, a dedication page.
Yeah.
To us. It says that. We think all of this is great, but this one, it's not great.
This one you could just flip, skip right over and go to the...
Skip ahead 19 pages.
But that's okay. I'm looking forward to the new Thor number one. Apparently he's got multiple hammers, you know, for every occasion, it seems like. So that'll be cool. I'll be checking out all these Marvel books.
They did a cool hammer gag in some book, and now I can't remember what it was. It might have been that Wolverine book.
Not sure. Oh yeah, she was trying to.
And then they were like, "Oh, that would have been cool if you would have."
That's right.
That was actually very funny.
Yeah, what's her name? Gabby said that. She's like, "Oh, that would have been really cool." I think we're pretty. You got anything else? I think I'm.
No.
I'm pretty good to go.
We had a couple weeks we didn't talk about comics.
Yeah, because we had like a holiday week or whatever, and then we had Solo. So I'm glad we got into some of these.
Talk about Domino 3 and whenever
I remember Domino.
but also we could talk about that. That cool. This is the teaser for next time. The new G.I. Joe with the Baroness and Destro in it.
That's right. We'll talk about that. Can't wait. All right. Well, thanks, Clay.
Very well. Thanks, Durst.
Well. And thanks to you, listeners. Go to leaguepodcast.com and you can click on the links that we put up on the podcast page there, and we get a little kickback, you know, stuff like that. You know, it's standard. We got news and events and all that stuff. So check it all out. LeaguePodcast.com. Why not?
Why not? Have an anniversary about Robin Hood comic book?
Yeah, that's nice. Facebook memories is always usually kind of a thing where I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I wrote that. But Facebook memory was good for one thing, because it reminded me that 1 year ago yesterday, well, June 2nd, was the release date for the Robin Hood trade. So, yeah, 1 year.
Very well.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Nice. Thanks.
And it's available.
It is available on Amazon or Comixology if you want it digitally, or you can go to robinhoodcomic.com and get one, and I'll mail it to you.
Nice.
I will. Me. Not some little, like, you know, kid working in a factory somewhere. I will do that. And
not some kid working in the Comixology factory.
Yeah. If you want a hard copy, I'll even sign it for you. If you want.
Ooh, but, I have some good news. Episode 333, you might remember we did that interview with director Kevin Trek of the Samus documentary, Inongo.
Yeah.
Guess what the good news is?
Did they make their goal?
Their goal.
Oh, very well.
100% backed of $30,000, $30,035 as with 6 days left.
That's pretty sweet. So, congratulations, Kevin.
Congrats, guys.
And the whole team. Yeah.
And if you guys want to support that documentary, go back onto our leakpodcast.com, go to episode 333, or just type in the Samus documentary.
Yeah.
And it's Indiegogo. Yeah,
Indiegogo. Indiegogo. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's great. Well, there you go. I don't think it was because of us, but you never know. We might have helped.
They got
a little.
That League podcast bump.
They got the bump. Yeah. So, congratulations, and very well. All right, thanks, Clay.
Thanks, Durst.
We'll talk to you chumps later.
Later, you fucks.
If you go a million miles away, I'll track you down, girl. Trust me when I say I know the pathway to you. I am Superman, and I know what's happening.
They're the worst. Krypton is terrible. Fuck them.